Hoping everyone has seen that movie, because if you haven't, I'm sorry for ruining a really good movie. Simba is a lion cub there, and he just lost his dad. And Simba is about to run away, get run off by his uncle, and run and leave his kingdom behind. And I'll be talking a little bit about the Lion King throughout this message, but I can relate to this scene in a different way than I've ever been able to relate to before. For those of you guys who don't know, my mother passed away about 3 weeks ago, and tonight I'm going to talk about it. And coming up, like last week, knowing that I had to teach this week, I did a really good job at procrastinating and putting off prepping for this because I didn't want to. Praying about what I should be teaching about tonight, I knew God was pushing me to talk about this, and I didn't want to start diving into preparation for that. I could have easily come up here and talk about sin or talk about prayer, because there's a disconnect there. It's not what I'm going through right now. But I know that God honors us being vulnerable, and that I know that whatever comes out tonight, that God will use. And so will you guys join me in praying for that right now? God, we just really lift up tonight. And Lord, I just invite your Holy Spirit into this room right now, Lord, and prepare the hearts of everyone here. God, I pray that my words would be, God, just so little of me and so much of you. God, that through the just the simplicity of what I'm going to be saying, that your Spirit would work through that and penetrate the hearts of everybody here. God, that they would see you in a new light, that we would all leave these doors here at Cape and Auditorium different people tonight because of your good news. We love you, God, who lift up tonight. That's in your name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to be looking about tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Here we have Peter writing to a couple churches. And Peter, we know a little bit about Peter. He was a big guy in the early church. His name, Petros, means a rock. He was writing this letter as an encouragement to the churches. They were going through a rough time of persecution. It was not pretty. And he was writing to bring hope to these people. And as I was prepping for tonight, I was just blown away by the truth that was revealed in this passage. And so let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll dive into a little bit more. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I'm going to read that one more time because that's a lot of stuff. So I want you to, as I'm reading this, really let this truth sink in. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in the praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter begins this with telling us that we need to praise God. He begins this in praising God. And I think about this, when I was thinking about this and thinking about when are some natural, or some times in life where it's natural to praise Jesus. I think about childbirth, and I haven't gone through that yet, but I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be a dad. I can't think of another time in your life that can just really, that you can just see the miraculousness of Jesus in front of you, that you can hold it, that you can feel it, that you can hug it, that you can kiss it, that there's just a beautiful thing there that how can you not help but just get on your knees and weep in joy and praise to Jesus. That is a natural time in our life where praising Jesus is, I think, should come second nature. Then I think about times in your life where it isn't natural for you to praise Jesus. Think about someone in your family losing a job and losing all the security that comes with that. I think about someone in your family going through a divorce and having everything that you've just poured your heart and soul into being torn away from you. I think about somebody dying and how all that loss and all that sadness is just overwhelming. Those times seems a little bit unnatural to me to praise Jesus through. But this is what Peter calls us to do. He starts it off and just giving praise to Jesus. We're called to give praise in the midst of suffering. It was March 21st when we got the phone call. It was actually Katie's birthday. I was really excited. Really excited for this whole week. It was Katie's birthday on Wednesday. We're supposed to see the Hunger Games on Thursday. We're going to my bachelor party that weekend. I was really excited, coming up to that, saying it's going to be the best week ever. And so that Wednesday, the 21st, got a phone call really early in the morning from my aunt, saying that they found my mom on the ground at home, and they don't know what's wrong with her. So they took her to the hospital. So we rushed home. My brother, Katie, and Andrew, and I rushed home that morning, and about halfway through, got a phone call that my mom had a brain hemorrhage. And what that means, that is a bleeding of the brain, and that it was so bad that it was inoperable, and they couldn't do anything, that all the brain, that all the blood in the brain rushed and went down to the brainstem, which pretty much controls your whole body. And she was on an air machine, breathing, I don't know what that's called, but and that was pretty much keeping her going. So they're waiting for us to get there, and so that ride was horrible. Don't remember it much, just remember crying a lot and praying a lot. And I remember when we got there, there was already like 40 to 50 people there, and when we entered the room, we just kind of fell at her bedside and wept. Finally sinking in that this was it, that she was going to go. And so as I'm prepping for this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, how am I going to tell you guys what's going on in my life? Because the thing is that there really are no words. I can't, when people ask me, how are you doing, I say okay, because I am okay, but I just don't know how else to describe it. Just praying about this and going through the Word and really meditating on what this section of Scripture has, I found that God has given us three amazing, super remarkable gifts in the Scripture that looking upon this is really the reason that we're holding together and that God's holding us up. The first gift we have that God's given us is a living hope. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Guys, this isn't wishful thinking. This isn't something that may or may not be. Our hope is living because Jesus Christ is living, because he was raised from the dead. Jesus was crucified on the cross, and he suffered. He suffered a long and painful and agonizing death that his Father didn't spare him from. And the beautiful thing is that while God doesn't spare us from suffering here on earth, we're able to share that suffering on the cross. And while it might not be as a great measure as Jesus felt, we have the sufferings in our life that Jesus took on the cross. And the beautiful thing is that we also share promise of the empty tomb. You see, Jesus was crucified, and he died a painful death, but 3 days later, he rose again, and his tomb was empty. And that was a beautiful message of Resurrection Sunday just last week that we got to share. And it was really cool just really meditating on this part of Scripture just a week after that and really letting that sink in. You see, because Jesus rose again, he's alive and he is well, and we have a living hope in that. And that's beautiful. In verse 6 it says, In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Talks about suffering grief and trials, and again, these early churches are suffering persecution, and they're people are dying there too, and they're suffering in all different kinds of ways. And he makes sure, Peter makes sure to say, for a little while. My job here as a campus minister isn't to protect you to protect you and hide away from the realities of what's going to happen in this world. Pain and suffering is a part of this world. We live in a broken world. My job as a campus minister is to prepare you for that and to love you and help you through that. And the reality is that there is a lot of pain and suffering in this broken world. But we think about that our time here is so short. It's so short compared to the eternity that we're going to have with Jesus Christ. And really, it's a small time. And when we think about why death is so hard, think about, of course, there's the natural sense of loss. There's the natural sense of separation that hurts. It hurts a lot. But I think another reason why it's so hard is because it's a reminder of our own mortality. The only thing we are all guaranteed, every single one of us in this life, is death. That's the only thing that we are guaranteed. And when we lose someone, that becomes really real. That becomes, like Ben said, that's kind of pushed right in front of our face that, hey, this is a big thing. That's bad news, okay? That's the bad news. We're all going to die. The good news is that as Christians, we have a living hope that we don't have to fear the future because we know what it holds. And that is exciting. That's the first gift that we're given here, is a living hope. Second gift we're given is an imperishable inheritance. Verse 4 says, "And into it an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." As I'm actually preaching tonight off of my Kindle Fire. First time I've ever done it. Kind of nervous that it's going to shut off. But Cody and I were actually talking about this a couple weeks ago, how the new age of ministers preach off of iPads and Kindle Fires. And so I decided to do that. So I'm like working on my computer to send my notes over here, and just thinking about when I think about this idea of imperishable, and I think about computers, how if you think about, like, if you have a computer for 4 or 5 years, that's a miracle. Praise Jesus, because that is a long time to have a computer, and that's kind of sad. Spent a lot of money on that, and lasts for 4 years. I'm in the middle of car shopping right now, which is not fun at all. We're going to end up spending a lot of money on a car that we're praying lasts 10 years. And so I'm really starting to realize how temporary things around us are, that we invest a lot of time, a lot of money in things around us that don't last. Prepping for this, I found the oldest living thing on earth is an ancient seagrass found in the Mediterranean Sea. It is believed to be at least 100,000 years old. It could be up to 200,000 years old. It's about 2,000 miles of seagrass found between Cyprus and Spain. And to think about this, wow, this is the oldest living thing on earth. And there's science behind it. I guess it's like asexual and it doesn't need a mate to produce, so that's the only reason why it keeps going on itself. And I'm not a science guy, so I don't know. But I thought that was cool. Like, I'm thinking about, okay, computer, 4 years, yes. Plant, 200,000 years, awesome. But if we think about even 200,000 years in comparison to eternity, it's nothing. It's that. And this is the oldest living thing that we can physically look at and kind of grasp that is the only thing on earth. That's the oldest thing on earth that we can grasp onto. Everything else in this earth, everything in this earth is perishable. And Jesus talks about here that we get an inheritance that is imperishable, that doesn't perish. And that is unlike anything we can even think of on this earth. And it's only ours because Jesus died. And when we die, we get it. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for our sins once and for all, and the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, and the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ, after we have suffered a little while, will himself restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. This inheritance is so huge that it says in verse 4 that it's stored in heaven. Such a big deal that something that we can't that we can't even comprehend to be on this earth. And until we get that, it says that that God's power will protect us until we receive that inheritance. And what that means is that when we as Christians, when we proclaim Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we have this inheritance that we're going to get when we die. And this protection that God places over us is not to protect us from death. Because you see, death isn't the enemy of this inheritance. In fact, death guarantees this inheritance. When we die, we get this inheritance from God. And to me, that's an exciting thing. Because this world's scary, it's broken. It was scary to the churches that Peter were writing to. They were facing daily persecution, and this brings comfort that though people are dying around them, though things crumble and decay on this earth, this inheritance won't. It's reassuring to me this past month after my mom passed. My mom's body was deteriorating fast. She had cancer, and she was going in and out of remission. And think about what cancer does for those of you guys who are nursing majors and know more about that. Cancer eats away at your body fast. The chemo and the radiation were destroying her brain. It was not a pretty sight to see. And that's just a representation of this whole world. Everything in this whole world decays just like my mom's body did. But this inheritance that we're going to get, this inheritance that we're promised, will not perish, will not decay, won't spoil. It's a beautiful thing. And so that kind of leads us to the third gift that we get. The third gift that we get with a new birth is a ready salvation. Verse 5 says, who through faith are shielded by God's power, which is what I talked about before, God's protection, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So it's true that when we proclaim Jesus to be our Savior, the Savior of our life, we're born anew, and we receive our salvation, and that salvation is ready. But I think in the fullest sense, salvation isn't fully realized until those pearly gates close behind us and we're in heaven. What we experience now, the salvation that we experience now, living on this broken earth as broken, sinful human beings, is nothing compared to when we're facing Jesus. It's nothing compared to when it's going to be revealed in Jesus' time, in his timing. We live our lives here on earth in perishable bodies, and we don't have the choice of whether or not we suffer. We don't have the choice of whether or not what trials we face, what trials we don't face. We don't have that power. We have the choice as to who and what we live for. I feel like there's three choices that we have when we face a tragedy. Three choices that that are pretty common. Those first choice when a tragedy comes up, first choice is to give up hope. Simba ran away when his father died. He fell into the lies of his uncle. He lost hope that his family would forgive him or his family would believe him. He lost hope. And I feel like that's common for people. I feel like when people are faced with hardships, when people are faced with losing a job or losing a family member to death or any tragedy, that it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to be angry with God. It's easy to store that hurt and that pain right here. People give up hope. That's the first choice that people have. Second choice that people have is to pretend. When Simba left and he ran away, he pretended that he wasn't the king. He pretended to forget everything that his father taught him. He pretended to forget where his home was and where he belonged. When people are faced with a tragedy, they build up barriers and walls, and they close themselves off to other people. They pretend that they're okay. They seclude themselves to protect themselves, and they make up fantasies in their lives so that they're not able to relate to other people's pain because it hurts too much for them to even think about another person dying or to even experience another person going through a divorce. They pretend. People pretend. The third choice that people have when faced with a tragedy is to believe. When Simba believed and finally accepted that he was king, he went back and restored his kingdom. God's given us a living hope, an imperishable inheritance, and a ready salvation. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, to create a way to heaven for us. Do you believe that? This past month hasn't been easy. I'm not gonna lie to you and say it's been a piece of cake. I miss my mom. I miss her a lot. I miss texting her about Jeopardy and the Cubs. I miss her talking about the wedding every single day. I miss her humor and really miss her cooking. I miss her. And I know there's people in this room who have gone through similar things, and that's the reason why I let God push me into talking tonight, because I know there's hurt in here. I know you guys have hurt, not just from death, but from divorce, from abuse, from all sorts of tragedies. I know there's hurt, guys. Some of you have stored that deep down in your heart, and there's still anger towards that person, or there's still anger towards God. For those of you guys who had to go through that without Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But see, tonight's an exciting night. Tonight is a celebration. Because as hard as it was for me to prep for tonight, the thing that keeps me going is that my mom knew this. My mom knew this and accepted this with all her heart. People ask me, how are you holding up? How is this even possible? How are you not a wreck right now? How are you not crying every day? I tell them, it's okay. It's okay to grieve. Grief is normal. Grief is a part of life. We live in a broken world. But in Jesus, there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. As Christians, as people, we're sad. We're sad naturally. We grieve naturally. But the beautiful thing, the thing that I'm excited to share with you guys tonight is that my mother is in heaven with her Lord and Savior, celebrating in ways that we can't understand, that we can't even comprehend, because of that inheritance that was just stored up for her, because of that ready salvation. My mom was ready to go. She prayed every day, God, take me when you're ready. And she would call me and she would say, Phil, I want to be at your wedding. She said, Phil, I want to be there at your wedding. But I'm ready to be with God. I'm ready to be with my Savior. I love you guys. I love Encounter. My mom loved Encounter. I want you guys to know that in Jesus, there's hope. If there are people in here who don't know what that means, if there are people in here who a relationship with Jesus Christ, if that's foreign to them, if there are people in here who doesn't understand what a ready salvation is for them, please talk to me. Please talk to anyone on staff. Please talk to your small group leader. Talk to someone you came with. You guys, there's hope in Jesus Christ that brings me to tears. These aren't sad tears. These are beautiful tears. Because my mother knew that hope. And I want you to know that hope. And I know a lot of you guys do. And I want you tonight to be convicted to go and share that hope with other people. Pete talked about God's timing the other week. And he was right on. God's timing isn't our timing. And there's hope that I've experienced in this last 3 weeks that I can't, that it's hard for me to put words into. And this is a lot of hours just to talk to you guys for 25 minutes about the hope that I'm feeling right now. Guys, this college campus is desperate for hope. This community is desperate for hope. This perishable world that's breaking down around us is desperate for hope. Ben talked about how that was pushed right into my face 3 weeks ago. And for some of you guys, you've never had to think about this. And for some of you guys, this is all too real, and this has been your life for a long time. Jesus sent his son to die for us on the cross. That's a beautiful hope to hold on to. My heart is broken. My heart hurts every day thinking about my mom. But my soul is overjoyed in knowing where she's at right now. Let's pray. God, you are good. You're so good. And Spirit, I pray you continue to work in these people. God, that your hope would just overflow this room. God, thank you for sending your son to die for us. God, in time of grief, which is natural, which is okay, that we would see your glory, that we would see your hope, that we couldn't help to come down to our knees and rejoice your name. You are good, God, and I trust in you right now, in your timing. God, thank you for giving us these gifts. It's in your name we pray. Amen.